Well, last year I had the privilege of speaking on the seven last words of Christ. This year, though, I'd like to focus on one of those words, the third phrase, the third sentence that Jesus said from the cross. We just heard it a few moments ago. Woman, behold your son. And then he turned to the disciple and said, behold your mother. In this beautiful church, these words are written right over here. Woman, behold your son. Disciple, behold your mother. Let's take a look for a few moments at this third word from the cross, the third time the Lord spoke. Jesus calls Mary woman. It's very interesting. He never calls her Mary. He never even calls her mother in the entire New Testament. Jesus always calls her woman. And if you read the fathers and doctors of the church, they say that this title woman was really the title of the mother of the Messiah, that it was the title of the mother of the Savior. And this theme of the woman of Genesis runs all the way through the Bible, even to the book of Revelation, when we hear about the woman clothed with the sun. So the word woman was a title of honor, a title of respect. And in the book of Genesis, remember when God curses Satan and says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and they shall crush thy head. The woman will give birth to the Redeemer of the world who would crush Satan. So obviously, this woman is the mother of the Messiah. And notice in John chapter 2, at the wedding feast of Cana, Mary approaches Jesus and says, they have no more wine. He doesn't call her mother. He doesn't call her Mary. He says, woman, what is that to you and to me? How does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come. So again, at the wedding feast of Cana, when he's about to work his first miracle, he calls her woman. And then in the book of Revelation, John, who was the one who had stood at the foot of the cross next to our Blessed Mother, has a vision. At the end of chapter 11, beginning of chapter 12, John says, I saw the heavens opened, and I saw the woman clothed with the sun, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So this theme of the Savior is from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, but the Savior is never mentioned without the mother being mentioned as well, and that is the woman. The woman of Genesis is the woman of Cana. She's the woman of the book of Revelation, and she's also the woman at the foot of the cross. When Jesus says to her, woman, behold your son. This title, the woman, behold your son, is a title of the new Eve. And the new Eve, Mary, is standing at the foot of the cross, while Jesus, her son, the new Adam, is redeeming the world and dying for us on the cross. And that's what we think about today on Good Friday. We think about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the new Adam, dying on the cross, which is the tree of life. Remember in the Garden of Eden, you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where humanity sinned. That's where Eve, of course, first disobeyed God and then got Adam, her husband, to disobey as well. And they ate the forbidden fruit at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it was at a tree that the human race fell, and it would be at the tree of the cross that the human race would be redeemed. And Jesus, the new Adam, died for us on Good Friday. He was the Redeemer of the world. He is the Son of God. He laid down his life for us on this Good Friday. And as his blood drained from his body, Jesus was redeeming the world on the tree of life, which is the tree of the cross. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve committed sin through pride and disobedience. But now on Calvary, the new Adam and the new Eve brought about grace through humility and obedience. So the tree of the cross, the tree of life, has vanquished the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Jesus, the new Adam, is dying on the cross for us today as we think about what happened 2,000 years ago on Good Friday. Jesus is the new Adam. He is also called the Lamb of God. And when the Lord was being crucified on the cross, it was at the same time that the Passover lambs were being sacrificed in the temple. For a lamb to be acceptable on the Passover, it had to be a male lamb without blemish. And then this lamb would not have any of its bones broken, but it would be strung up and then pierced by a lance. And then the blood would flow out of a lamb. And this occurred in the evening twilight. So now Jesus is the Lamb of God on Good Friday. He is lifted up. He is pierced by a lance. He is slaughtered in the evening twilight. And notice none of his bones were broken. His blood drained from his body and washed the world clean. So Jesus is the Lamb of God. And of course, he's also Mary's lamb. I remember a priest friend of mine went to visit a family, and after dinner, he was talking to the children and he pointed to a crucifix and said, "Who is that?" And the little 3 or 4 year old said, "That's Jesus." And the priest says, "Well, tell me something about Jesus that you know." And the little kid said, "Jesus died on the cross for us." Oh, the priest was so pleased. Then he turned to the statue of the Blessed Mother and said, "Who's that?" And the little girl said, "That's Mary." And the priest says, "Tell me something you know about Mary." And she said, "Mary had a little lamb. And his fleece was white as snow." And you know what? He said, "That is good theology." Because not only was Jesus the Lamb of God, he was also Mary's lamb. And Mary was at the foot of the cross, suffering along with her divine Son, who was redeeming the world. Mary was praying for us at the foot of the cross. Mary was there to support her Son dying on the cross. And the Blessed Mother can be a great comfort to us in time of suffering. If you lose a loved one, the Blessed Mother, she knows what it's like to lose a spouse. She knows what it's like to lose a child. We know that St. Joseph died sometime between when Christ was 13 and 30, so Mary became a widow at a very young age. We also know that she had to watch her son die when he was only 33 years of age. I just spoke to a woman on the phone yesterday from another parish, and she was still suffering because even she just buried her son 2 weeks ago. He died. He was in his 40s. He died of cancer. And he was a heroic fighter. He fought as well as he could, but he did not win the battle with cancer. And this woman had also lost her husband 2 years ago. And he died very suddenly. And so we were talking about our Blessed Mother and how our Blessed Mother could be there for her, to comfort her, because the Blessed Mother can relate to her. Because the Blessed Mother also lost her husband, St. Joseph, and she had to stand at the foot of the cross as her son was dying on the cross. And this mother not only lost her husband, but she had to watch her son die a slow death of cancer. And so the Blessed Mother was a tremendous comfort and a tremendous help for this woman, as our Blessed Mother is a comfort for all of us as well. And so Jesus provided for his mother. He made sure that since Mary had no other children, and legally if she had other children, they would have taken care of her, he had to entrust her to one of his disciples. And so he fulfilled the fourth commandment, "Honor your father and mother," and said, "Woman, this is now your son. He will now take care of you." And then he turned to John and said, "Behold your mother." And that word "behold" is such a beautiful word in Scripture. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Pontius Pilate said, "Behold the man." And now Jesus says, "Woman, behold your new son." And disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour on, it says, John took her into his home. The original Greek says he took her into his own, which indicates he took her into his heart. He took her into his life. He took her into his own home. And if you've been to Ephesus in Turkey, you can go to Mary's house. We have the privilege of saying Mass there, where Mary lived for 20 years with John. And John was Mary's priest. He said Mass for her, I'm sure, every day. Gave her Holy Communion, I'm sure, each day. He took good care of her. Well, how do we relate to this in our own personal spiritual life? Well, I think what we should remember is that in Scripture, it calls John the beloved disciple. It doesn't even use his name here. And I think that's deliberate, because all of us should put our name in that place, because all of us are called to be the beloved disciple of Christ. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a follower, one who learns, one who sits at the Master's feet and listens to his words. So we are called, and I believe all of us are called, to be the beloved disciple of Christ. And so we should take Mary into our own, take Mary into our home. And notice that after Jesus had entrusted his mother to John, Scripture says, and now realizing that everything was finished, he then said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That Mary was the last gift that Jesus gave us before he died. And so we should ask ourselves, have we accepted not only Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that he died for us on Good Friday, but have we accepted Mary as our personal spiritual mother? Yes, she is the mother of our Savior Jesus Christ, but she's also your mother and my mother. And have we accepted Mary into our heart and into our home? Do we pray her rosary every day? Do we follow her peace plan from heaven that she gave us at Fatima on how to bring peace to this troubled world? Do we wear her brown scapular or her miraculous medal? Do we honor her in our home with a beautiful painting or an icon or a statue of our Blessed Mother? Have we consecrated ourselves and entrusted ourselves to Mary? Have we consecrated your children to our Blessed Mother? Have you consecrated your family to Our Lady? Have you made the 33-day preparation that St. Louis de Montfort recommends of total consecration to Jesus through Mary? So Jesus is saying to us today, woman, behold your children, behold your sons and daughters, and disciple, behold your mother. You know what? We get the better end of the bargain. Mary gets us, but you know what? We get Mary. So we get the better end of the deal. And have we visited Our Lady's shrines? Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe. You know, these shrines of Our Lady are, I believe, the greatest places where conversions to Christ are taking place throughout the world. And as the saints have said, Mary is the quickest, safest, surest way to be close to Christ. So let's be close to Jesus' mother, because she is our mother also. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he's also Mary's lamb. And Mary did have a little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow, so pure, so holy. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb is sure to go.